The hate crimes bill debate became more contentious in February when a list of victim characteristics, such as race, religion, gender, or sexual orientation, was removed from the version of the bill passed out of committee in the Senate. Three leaders of local congregations put out a statement in response to this, and I am joined by one of the writers of that statement, Reverend Dr. Timothy Murphy from Plymouth Congregational Church. Reverend Timothy, welcome to WBOI Presents.
Thank you.
Before we go any further, tell our listeners about yourself and your congregation.
Sure. I'm the senior pastor at Plymouth Congregational Church in Fort Wayne, and so I've been there just about a little over 7 months now, and we're part of the United Church of Christ denomination and downtown church.
You released a statement along with two others about the changes made recently to the hate crimes bill in the Indiana Senate that removed a list of victim characteristics. You partnered with Reverend Bill McGill at Imani Baptist Temple, as well as Jackie Schreyer at Jewish Federation of Fort Wayne.
That's right.
What inspired you to make this statement, and how did this shared stance come about?
So at Plymouth, we have this commitment to be a good neighbor and partner with others. And so when we hear from groups who are religious minorities, people of color, LGBTQ persons, and they say, this is a concern, then we try to take this seriously. So it actually started several months ago when Ms. Schreyer of the Jewish Federation reached out to me about Plymouth supporting hate crimes legislation before the session started. And so we considered that as a congregation. We decided to do that. And so in January, we released a letter to the editor that went out to the General Gazette originally, signed by myself, the associate pastor, Reverend Ruth Phillips, and the congregation. And so we shared that with area senators and representatives and said, okay, well, we've done that piece. And so when we found out that originally the Senate's committee passed 9-1 in a bipartisan fashion, a good, inclusive hate crimes bill, and then the Senate then stripped it of all particularity of religious minorities, people of color, LGBTQ persons, then I immediately called Ms. Schreyer and asked her, we need to respond. And so she encouraged me, she suggested we reach out to Reverend Bill McGill, which worked with a lot historically, Plymouth and the Jewish Federation. So the three of us put together that press release and got it out and submitted it that day. And just because it's very important for Indiana to have an inclusive hate crimes bill to reflect the best of Indiana, and we don't need to be one of only five states kicking and screaming, refusing to have hate crimes legislation with teeth to remove the specificity of groups impacted in some ways is worse than having nothing, because what you're saying to the groups impacted is, we don't see you, and when hate crimes disproportionately affect you, that needs to be acknowledged.
Governor Holcomb made comments about the hate crimes debates at the end of this month. He said a bill without the list of characteristics isn't good enough, and he encouraged Hoosiers to contact their voting representatives and appeal to their hearts and minds. What would you say to appeal to the hearts and minds of others on this issue who maybe don't see it the same way?
Well, I would say a couple of things. One, sometimes people will say, well, you can't legislate hate. You can't legislate what people have in their hearts. And that's true. We can't affect and change what people think and feel, but we can hold people accountable when they act on their hate. And so we need to be able to say as a state that we're not going to sit by and allow these things to happen and to not recognize that the communities that are being hurt, our neighbors, are being hurt by hate crimes. Hate crimes are rising around the country. They're underreported in Indiana, according to past documentation. Over the past several years, that only apparently maybe half of hate crimes are reported is estimated. And so, at least in my tradition, and especially this is something that's in a lot of religious traditions, this notion of treat others as you'd like to be treated. And so, if I was being directly impacted by acts of hate, I would want people to respond. I would want, if I said, hey, this is a concern, this is affecting my community, if people said, oh, I don't care, that would bother me. And so whether we are people of faith, people of conscience, I think that we can come together to stand against hate crimes. That seems to be a fairly basic kind of justice foundation for a better Indiana. This should be easy. This should be something that most people can come together around. And they did in that that Senate hearing, when people actually heard the stories of people being impacted. So listen to your neighbors. Listen to your neighbors who are being impacted by this, and know that you can speak up for a better Indiana for an inclusive hate crimes bill.
Are you concerned that a biased crimes law with a list of victim characteristics would infringe upon your right to practice your faith?
No, it helps us live out our faith. Being able to support our neighbors who are being pressed down, experiencing hate, is how we live out what it means to be, in our tradition, a Christian. I know that in the past, past bills have not gotten out of committee, in part because I believe of the LGBTQ concerns, and that there are more conservative religious traditions that are worried that recognizing that hate crimes happen against lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities infringes upon their religion. And it wouldn't unless their religion demands them to attack queer people. That it infringes at all on religious liberty, unless you're the Westboro Baptist Church and you have had some sort of revelation that God demands that you attack people. This is not a bill that precludes theological or religious difference. It's about actions of violence against people. And so I would say that is normatively not okay, regardless of one's religious tradition or if one is a secular person. So I think this is something that I think that's meant more to scare people than to be an honest statement that people are making.
Any final thoughts you want to share with our audience before we end our time here?
You know, I believe that Indiana can be a better state, that we can live up to the highest ideals of our state, and that passing inclusive hate crime legislation is something that we can rally around as a step towards a more just, compassionate, and peaceful Indiana. And I'd hope people will do that.
Reverend Timothy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.